Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I have a quote I want to read to you, because this quote actually makes a lot of sense. It reminds me of when I was younger and I was in the military, and we'd go out and do certain things that the military gets involved with. And we used to say something about life not having a reset button. In other words, we'd go out, do what we were supposed to do, and once we crossed the line of departure, there was no going back. And what I'm going to share with you today is I don't know if it's a quote or if it's a statement. I don't even know who to attribute it to. I guess I'll attribute it to a place called themindjournal.com, because that's where I found it, but I don't see where it's linked to any particular person that I can give credit to. And here's the statement. There is no reset button in life. You can't take anything back, and you can't undo anything. All of your actions have consequences, and the things you say and do today will have a lasting impact on the rest of your life. You have to understand that, and you have to be aware of it while making your decisions. Yeah, I think that is pretty spot on, because in our lives, we can look to where we've been, and our vision is always 2020 in the rearview mirror. When you look back on your life, you go, man, I hit a home run there, or, oh man, I didn't do so well there. And you reflect on it, hoping to reinforce the good decisions that you've made while dealing with the consequences of those bad decisions. So all of us, we're all living a life. You've got one. I've got one. We don't know when the expiration date is. I mean, we do the things that we're supposed to do to continue to have a healthy life, right? I mean, we're supposed to eat right. We're supposed to diet. We're supposed to exercise. We're supposed to take our vitamins and the appropriate supplements. Some of us have to take medications to keep our body in check, because we're trying to live a long, prosperous life. But on one side of the coin, we do all those things that we're supposed to do. And on the other side of the coin, there's all the things that we do that aren't necessarily contributing to the good things that we're trying to achieve. And what I'm talking about is your decision to go into the workforce. That's right. I'm talking about your decision to go into the workforce. Now, I'm not saying that was a bad decision. I am not saying that. As a matter of fact, I think it's a very good decision if you have no money, if you have no income streams, if you have no way of providing for your basic needs, that you should go into the workforce. You should find employment that suits your skill sets, and you should do it very, very well. But I think over time, something changes in us. Something occurs in our lives where we realize that we have certain goals and objectives that we put onto our life path. You know, when I was a kid, I mean, we're going way back now. When I was a little kid, I think I was about 6 or 7 years old. My parents asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I thought about it for a minute, and I realized that I wanted money. Because I lived a lifestyle where we didn't have very much money. We had more month at the end of our money. And I told my parents this. I said, I want to be a millionaire. Now, I really didn't have any idea of what that meant. Now, I mean, we're going all the way back into the 70s here. And $1 million back in, say, 1972 was worth a lot more than $1 million today. But I knew that these millionaires, they had something. They had something that I didn't have. So I said, that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. As you fast track through time, and again, I have the benefit of looking at my life through a lens that's 2020. I realized, based on information that I had been receiving from all types of sources, from my parents, from my teachers, from my guidance counselors, even from the employers that I worked for when I was in junior high school and high school, that the path to success was to be followed this way. And you know, you may have heard this too. So if you have, just nod your head. Go to school, get good grades so that you can get into a good college, get more good grades so that you could get a degree and that you could get into the workforce, hopefully making more money than you would have made had you not gone to college. And with that new job, you get great pay, you get benefits, maybe you get something that's going to help you out when it comes to something called retirement, which is such a far distance in your future because that's calculated, you know, based on the age of, say, 65 years of age. And you're in your teens. So being the age of 65 when you're like 17, man, that's almost a bridge too far. And what happened to me was that I lost sight of my original goal of becoming a millionaire. I did. Because I started listening to society. I started doing the things that society told me to do. I started listening to people that had not obtained financial freedom. And I got into an alternate path. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get more into that story. Stick around.
Del Lumsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So as we went to break, I was kind of giving you some background on my life and a goal that I had set for myself at a very, very early age. A goal that I pretty much lost sight of. And I lost sight of that goal because I started doing the things that people that influenced me told me to do. They told me that the path to health, love, joy, freedom, whatever you want to call it, was to go to school and get good grades. So in high school, I did that. I mean, I went to school, I didn't cut class. Okay, maybe once. And I got good grades. I was a well-rounded student. I was in the jazz band. I was a swimmer. I played water polo. I did a lot of things, a lot of extracurricular stuff. I was on speech and debate. I can't remember all the stuff I did in high school, but I was one of those kind of, you know, well-rounded students. And I knew, based on what everybody had told me, that the path to success was to get to college. So I did everything that I could do in high school. Oh, by the way, I was working part-time on top of it all. See, I had to get a job so that I could get some money because outside of, you know, a roof over my head, that was pretty much what I was getting at home. And okay, I could eat there too. But if I wanted to go to a fast food place with my friends, that was on me. So at the tender age of 16, when it was legal for me to go out and get a job, I went out and got a job working in fast food because it's an entry-level job. It is designed for people like me at that time who want to earn money, to trade time for money, doing whatever it was that that business wanted me to do. And what that enabled me to do was to buy a used car. Now, my first car was, I'll tell you, it was a 1970 Chrysler Newport two-door. We called it Tank One. And the reason we called it Tank One was because this thing was a giant boat, and it was almost indestructible. I mean, back in those days, man, when they built those cars, they built them out of steel, and they were pretty tough cars. They got terrible gas mileage. Yeah, but back then, we weren't so worried about gas mileage. But let me get back to my story. So I learned to start trading time for money. And I had to get this car because it allowed me the ability to move about. And how I'd been moving about prior to getting a car was by bicycle. So because I was a swimmer in high school, my high school did not have a pool. We actually had to go to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, because I grew up in Las Vegas, which was, I don't know, I think I lived about halfway between where I went to high school and where the college was. And that was a couple of miles. And where we swam was in a place called Henderson, Nevada. Now, Henderson, Nevada is now, well, it's Green Valley in Las Vegas. But that was a considerable distance away. And for me to be able to get there, bicycle was a little bit too far. I think it was about, 12, 15-mile drive. Yeah, so I needed a car. I needed a car to support my lifestyle in high school because I was on track. I was on track to getting to college. And when it came time to applying for college, I did so. And, you know, when you apply for college, they want an application fee. Yeah, I think back in the day, it was like maybe, $50 or $75, which, you know, today is like, that's a drop in the bucket, right? That's like chump change. Well, to a kid that was making $3.05 an hour, because that's what minimum wage was back then, that was a lot of money. And I wound up applying to five different colleges that I wanted to go to. And of course, one of those colleges was my, what do you call that? The guarantee choice. Yeah, it was the University of Nevada at Las Vegas because I was a resident of Las Vegas, Nevada. I got good grades in high school. I was well-rounded. I was pretty much a shoo-in to go to school there if I wanted to go to school there. But I wanted to get outside of Las Vegas. So I applied to colleges that were outside of the state of Nevada. And of the other four colleges that I applied to, I was accepted by three of them. One of them did not accept me. And it was partially because they were looking for outstanding grades. And I had really good grades, but they weren't outstanding grades. So that school eliminated me, which was probably good in hindsight, because once I finally got to college and I started realizing that what I had chosen to study, which was computer science, didn't quite line up with my particular skill sets. So after I got to college, well, there's a step in between. It's called paying for college. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because apparently college, even back then, not free. It's not like going to high school where you just like get up in the morning and go to the school, because that's a part of what the community provides. College is different. Oh, and by the way, the college that I ultimately decided to go to, private college, University of Southern California. Yeah. Back then, it was pricey to go to school there. I think if I remember along the lines of maybe $4,000 a semester just for tuition. And of course, it was 5 hours away from where I lived. So there was also another cost called room and board. Well, when you package all those costs together, I mean, I was looking at something like, $10,000 to $12,000 per year to go to school. It might have been even more than that. Well, that was not something that my family could support. They didn't have the money to send me, not even to the local college, let alone a private university in California. So I was very busy applying for scholarships. I was. And I received a lot of scholarship offers, some I could use in conjunction with others, some that I couldn't. And then I turned to the military services, because the military services were offering scholarships to go to college. So I applied to all of the military services, the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. And all three of them awarded me scholarships. Oh, and by the way, all three of them had a presence at the University of Southern California. See, the Air Force came back and they said, we like what we see. We'll give you 2 years worth of scholarships. So the first 2 years are on you. And I thought, that's tough. Navy said, we'll do one better. We'll give you 3 years and you pay for one. I went, that's tough. And the Army said, come here, son. We're going to pay for all 4 years. But there's a catch. And when we come back from the break, I'll share with you what that was.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you never had the time. This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. You know, life has no reset button. And what I'm doing on today's show is I'm giving you some background on me, because I made decisions in my life based on information, or maybe it's opinions, that were provided to me by other people. And those people were people that I trusted, people that I respected, people like my parents, my teachers, my guidance counselors. I mean, these were all people that were trying to help me shape my life, to help me get to my future, and whatever that future was going to be. And earlier in the show, I told you that as a very young man, maybe around the age of 7, back in the early 70s, we're talking very early 70s, I had a goal of becoming a millionaire. And I didn't really understand what that meant. But I understood that millionaires had something that I didn't necessarily have, which was all the things that I didn't have, because I lived a very, a modest lifestyle as a very young man. My dad's vision of success was to provide a roof over my head, which he did, check. Clothes on my back, which he did, check. By the way, none of my clothes were designer clothes, but I don't think we necessarily went to thrift stores for everything, just as a side note. And the third thing, food in my belly, check. I don't think I ever missed a meal. So if you work off my father's definition of success, we were a successful family. We weren't homeless. We didn't have to beg for food. We didn't have to do any of that stuff. I mean, my dad was gainfully employed. My mom was gainfully employed. So, I mean, we just kind of got through life. And as it came time for me to get to college, I was able to get into the majority of the schools that I applied to because I was doing what society told me to do, which was go to school, get good grades, check, did that, get into a good college, check, got those. Here's the sound of the screeching brakes. How are you going to pay for it, dude? I mean, when your family is barely making enough money to keep you in the fundamental things of existence, and you started working at a very young age. That's right. I started delivering papers at the age of, I think, like 12 or 13, because that was the only way I was going to get any spendable cash. And when I got to high school and I turned the magic age of 16, I got into the workforce because I knew that I needed a car in order to support the other things that I was trying to do in my life at that time. And that job legitimately paid for that car. And that's about all it paid for. Yeah, that's just the way it is. So when it came time to go to college, I wanted to go to the University of Southern California. I wanted to be a Trojan. I wanted to be part of that culture. That's where I wanted to be. But I had a huge problem. Even though I'd been accepted to go to school there, I didn't have any money to go there. So I turned to scholarships. I mean, I applied for anything and everything that was out there. But the majority of the scholarships came in were either for small amounts, or they couldn't be used in conjunction with something else, or they had strings attached to it, or whatever, yada, yada, yada. And the problem was, I was trying to replace the entire cost of going to school because I didn't even have $10 to throw at it. So I turned to the military because the military was offering scholarships to students, and the condition of accepting a scholarship was that you would serve in the military for a certain amount of period of time. And you know what? I was okay with that because I had to have a job coming out of school anyhow, right? So the Air Force gave me a 2-year scholarship, the Navy gave me a 3-year scholarship, and the Army gave me a 4-year scholarship. I thought, you know what? The Army's the way to go. They're paying for the most education here. But there was a catch. See, all of those scholarships provided for tuition, fees, books, supplies, and a small monthly stipend. I think it was like $100 a month. But they did not pay for room and board. And I needed a place to eat and sleep. So I had to take out student loan debt. Because the scholarships that were still kind of on the table really weren't on the table anymore. So I went to school, started off studying computer science, realized that that was a mistake. After a year, I changed my major to business because that was more aligned with where my mind was at. I did ROTC, and at the end of 4.5 years, I graduated from college. Now, it took me 4.5 years because I changed my major, so I actually lost a semester of coursework that I took that didn't count towards a business degree. Oh, and by the way, guess who paid for that? Yes, and it wasn't the Army. It was me. Yeah, just add that on to the student loan debt, right? So I get out of college, I go into the Army, and I spend 27 years of my life serving proudly. Now, I do not regret my military service at all. Please don't misunderstand me. If I sound like I'm picking on the military, I am not. But here it goes. So when you serve in the military, you're afforded pay and allowances based on the rank that you hold and your time of service. That's how military pay is determined. And if you're in an active duty status for more than 30 days, I think that was the rule, you also were afforded basic allowance for subsistence, which was like a couple $100 a month to help, you know, cover your food expenses. And you would get basic allowance for quarters if you did not live in military housing. So they would pay you a rate based on wherever you were stationed to help you secure housing outside of that military base or installation or wherever you were at. And we were never in base housing. We always got that housing allowance. So it allowed us to essentially live on the economy. But when you actually sit down, you peel back the onion, you take a look at comparable skill sets, and you look at what a military officer does, the amount of time they put into their job. And it's not a 40-hour work week. It is not. It is a lot more than 40 hours. And it's 7 days a week. And when 9/11 happened, it got even worse because we were now fully engaged in what we did for a vocation, defending our country, fighting the bad guys. But when you compare the skill sets of a military officer with somebody with the same requisite skill sets in the civilian world, military officers get paid Well, a lot less than their counterparts in the civilian world, and that's just the way it is. And if you don't like it, you can leave the military and go compete in that civilian world. As long as you meet your gates, in other words, you did your time, you could go. But I chose not to go because I was good at what I did. And I was on my way to getting this wonderful thing called a pension. And I'll tell you what, all my former advisors would have been screaming to the hillsides. We'll come back from the break after this.
As I sit here and read article after article and see TV show after TV show, the normal person out there on the street cannot overcome their fear to get to the analytical part of this whole process. I'm not afraid of, and I'm actually ready for, a recession, a crash of value of anything and everything. Why? It is the opportunity to do incredible stuff. But that's my analytical brain.
The United States has a very strong economy. We will return to our basic economic foundation. This is not going to be the end of the world for everyone. But you do need to take some action. And some actions will be more productive than others. And one of the things that I think you can do now is take this time, like you said, Del, people are going to be sitting at home, and you have a time right now to change your life. Make what you have work for you.
You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So I was talking about how I spent 27 years in the Army, and I don't regret any of it. I don't regret any of my time serving our country. I think it was a very valuable time for me personally, for personal growth. It allowed me to check some of my own personal boxes for serving and helping others. And I did earn the benefit of a pension, because back then, if you served for at least 20 years on an active duty status, you qualified for a pension. And that pension was designed to, you know, help you live after your time of military service. So I receive a pension. But here's the big problem that I ran into. And this is getting back to my original premise that I made when I started the show, which is life has no reset button. When I retired from the military, I was done. I was gone. I mean, I was removed from the rolls of the Army forces. I was put onto the retired rolls. And immediately thereafter, I went into financial catastrophe because I had been earning a certain amount of money. And we were a single income household. My wife doesn't work. And that's all by design. So when I retired, my pension started paying, and it paid the next month. It did pay, but it paid me one third of what I had been receiving when I was serving on active duty. Now, granted, I had all my time back. All of my time was mine again, except now I had to struggle to get into the workforce. That was a very challenging thing, because at the age of 50 years of age, I was dealing with ageism. I was trying to penetrate into a workforce at a wage level that was equal or greater to what I had been making when I was serving on active duty. That's almost a bridge too far. Well, it was a bridge too far for me. I didn't get there. And I started to watch my life unravel financially as month after month passed and I had not found employment. It's not that I wasn't looking. Trust me, I was looking. I was diligent on trying to find a job, but I was getting dead end after dead end after dead end. And I finally found a job with the municipality, working in an environment that I didn't absolutely appreciate. Now, I was still working in government, but this is a different kind of government. Military service is a lot different than working in a municipal government. Whole lot different. I think the only two things that are kind of the same are the fact that nobody's really focused on the bottom line until they have to be. But I was miserable. I was really, my mindset at that point was that I was going to work until the age of 70 because I could at least eke out enough income from this job. In addition to my pension, I could make ends meet. And what that also meant was deferring any Social Security that I might obtain as late as possible. You know, push it out to the age of 70. That was my life, working in cubicle hell until the age of 70. It was miserable. It was a miserable experience. Now, I worked with some great people, don't get me wrong. And my boss was great. But her boss, not so much. Her boss's boss, even less. Yeah, people that are worried about their own livelihood. Yeah, because trust me, there are people like that in government. They're only concerned about themselves, and that's it. Yeah, I said it. Well, along the way, my son and I had been talking about, you know, real estate. Maybe we could solve this problem by investing in real estate. And I thought, well, you know, I don't want to shatter his dreams, but I had actually had some not so great experiences with real estate. I had some good experiences, but I had some not so great experiences. And I actually owned some properties that I had bought a long time ago, back around 1999, 2003, somewhere in that time frame, I picked up some duplexes. And because I didn't know what I was doing, I was following somebody else's map, somebody else's system. These properties were not performing well for me. And really what these properties just kind of became for me was sort of a tax shelter because they weren't producing streams of income. So my son and I were driving around on a weekend. We hear this radio show, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor radio show. Somebody else was hosting it at that time. And I listened to what was being discussed on the show. And I thought, you know what? Let's check it out. Let's check this Lifestyles Unlimited thing out. And I'll tell you what, in the back of my mind, I thought it was going to be a scam. I really did. Because I had gone to look at some other programs that were being offered where we live. And I wasn't having it. I wasn't feeling the depth. I wasn't feeling the breadth. I wasn't feeling anything, that there was a lot of substance to any of these other programs. And when I came to the Lifestyles Unlimited free workshop, and I listened to what they talked about, they actually talked about concepts that made a lot of sense to me. And then they showed me how they went about buying single family and multifamily properties. I mean, they just, here, this is how we do it. Join us, be a member. We'll help you get to where you're trying to get to. And my son and I, we decided to become members right there on the spot. And the next thing we had to do was we had to get into the educational course that is provided as a part of the membership. They call it the Financial Freedom Course. And it's 16 hours of literally in your face telling you all the things you need to hear, not the things you want to hear, on how you can change your life by investing correctly in single family and multifamily properties. And something happened to me in that course. I actually hit a reset button. I know, I told you, there is no such thing as a reset button. But I actually hit a reset button in my mind. See, that 7-year-old kid that told his parents that what he wanted to be when he grew up was to be a millionaire, all of a sudden, I could see the possibilities. I could see the path literally emerging in front of my eyes. The yellow brick road, if you want to call it that, that was going to get me to where I was trying to get to. It has. My membership in Lifestyles Unlimited has helped me to restructure my life financially. I was able to reposition certain investments into real estate. I was able to go back and deal with those properties that I had owned and operated incorrectly for years, restructure them to where all of a sudden they went from costing me $1,000 a month, and now they were providing me $1,000 a month in passive income. And the opportunity to invest in multifamily properties, which I'm invested in. It's been a complete reset button for me. When life gives you a reset button, don't be afraid to push it. And you can't go back and you can't change the stuff that you have done. You can't change any of that stuff in the past. It's there in the past. It stays there in the past. You have to look at the present and understand that from the present, you have a thing called future. And although we don't know how long we're going to be here on this planet, because we don't know what our expiration date is as individuals, I'm here to tell you that Lifestyles Unlimited really gives you the opportunity to push the reset button on your life, to change the direction your life is going in, to not rely on trading time for money to get you money to buy stuff that isn't getting you to the lifestyle you desire. So if you want to find out how to do this, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.